forever. Dog.
Do not go gentle into that good night.
Poetry, I feel, is a tyrannical discipline.
I was trying to tell a story.
The book came to me in a sort of a haze.
This is how to write a good short story.
No hope, just booze and madness.
Everyone in the world has gone to bed one night or another with fear.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness.
Now, lend me your ears.
Hello, and welcome to Literati, a podcast about books, writers, readers, pens, pencils, notebooks, depression, poems, impotence, jokers, and midnight tokers.
And, for the record, we're ready and willing to sell out. We are your hosts, Colin and Michael. I'm Michael Wolff, winner of the 2018 Book Chucker Prize for throwing a paperback the furthest distance into a big wet hole. It's actually harder than it looks because they flit around a lot in the breeze. You know how books flit around.
And I'm Colin O'Brien, author of the hit young adult self-help series, So Your Body's Changing. So what? It's not my problem. You probably got bit by something. Go fucking deal with it. It's not my fucking problem.
Long title, but I like it.
Thank you.
I'm just so excited to someday have kids and be able to give them that book when they say, Daddy, Daddy, what's happening to our bodies? And I say, listen, read this book. It's not my problem. It's yours.
That is pretty much why I wrote the book. It's for parents who don't want to talk to their children.
I don't think that's when you have sex and decide to have a kid, I don't think part of the agreement is I got to tell this kid what is going to happen to their body and about sex.
Absolutely not. That's not fair. That's not in that. You didn't sign a contract with this baby that says I'm going to talk to you about sex. That's uncomfortable.
That's actually gross.
It's super gross.
I don't want to talk to a baby about sex. Let the professionals do that, just like you let the professional writers do the writing.
Exactly.
And just like you let the professional podcasters do the podcasting.
Yeah.
And speaking of professional podcasters, Literati's been going on for a few months now. We've had a whole... Feels like a long time. And one of the things that we've noticed is it's not that good.
No. And when you say it, you mean the podcast.
Both the podcast and the experience of listening to the podcast.
This is harder than I've ever had to work at anything in my whole life, and I hate it. And I don't feel any sense of pride. Mm. It feels like there's no reward. And so it's like, why? Why am I doing this?
Us in the room, sometimes the guest, and then the engineer who is, you know, pretty knee-deep in a dating app the whole time. You know, I can see swiping left, swiping right. Yeah. There's a lot going on there. And if even
we're not invited to on any of those dates.
No. You think that, okay, you're going to engineer the podcast. Let us engineer your love life. Doesn't happen. And there are, I would say, a whole small crew of people out online listening to this. And to you, we say thank you. But we also say, give us some feedback.
Yeah,
you know?
What can we do to make there be more of you
of
listeners?
You. Could you email the podcast, just download it, rip it offline. There's got to be a site to download and rip.
Yeah, you can.
And email it to your family.
Yeah, I've heard that most of our listeners are getting our podcast. They're pirating our podcast. And it's like,
yes, guys, it's on the Pirate Bay.
It's free. You don't need to pirate it.
Don't do it. You guys are going to Russian sites. You're downloading episode after episode as a torrent. And it is giving you a lot of viruses, even though you use a Mac, which you're not supposed to get viruses, and you're still getting them somehow.
Yeah, and it's like, guys, it's free. It would help us out if you just go through the process of downloading it or subscribing. But they're like, no, we want to pirate it. So
I recently got a copy of our own podcast emailed to me in a chain email. Like forwarded from my aunt, and it was like a whole bunch of memes about how Obama is not an American, which I was like, you're late on this. And it was every word was a different color font, a different color and a different font and a different color font. And it said, if you don't forward this email to 100 people, you're going to have really bad luck for a month. And I still didn't forward it, even though it was my own podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How's the luck been?
Well, I'll tell you this. I fell off a bridge.
And no one's been listening to the podcast.
So that's not great. So we just wanted to figure out, like, how do we make this more listenable, a little bit better?
Yeah.
And maybe we could take a page out of the books of some other popular podcasts.
Yeah, there's a number of, like, very, like, just mega successes in the world of podcasts. And we're like, let's look to them. What are they doing? What can we pull from that?
Yeah, good artists copy. Great artists steal.
Yeah.
Great thieves can finger paint.
Yeah, and then we just sort of beg people to give us their tips.
And if you are listening and you like this, just do a fun little review. Give us 5 stars and write a fun little review.
Yeah.
Make us laugh. We'll read it. And if it's good, we'll talk about it on air. I promise, maybe.
Yeah.
So, did you have a podcast that you like?
So, I mean, let's start with, one of the big ones.
Uh-oh.
WTF.
The Godfather of Podcasting.
WTF. That one's a huge hit.
It's big.
You know what I know?
Short name.
Yeah. And it's not even the words of the name.
And one of those words is a swear word.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Which one?
The W? I think it's the W.
Yeah?
Yeah. It stands for wanker.
Oh. So it's a Brit. I'm guessing Mark,
I think it's
Maron's
a British
from
thing.
England.
I've never made it through. I just listened to the first 15 minutes and turned it off. I think that we could change the name of our podcast to LIT.
Lit. Yeah.
It's also Lit AF.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fun.
What if we just called it Lit AF?
That's actually a genuinely much better name. Lit AF, a podcast about books.
And then if you abbreviate that to just LAF, that's laugh.
Mm.
So that works.
Which is what you'll do if you listen.
Yeah.
You'll laugh.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Lit AF. So just anyone listening to this.
Damn. This is a joke.
Michael is genuinely upset.
Lit AF is a really good name for a podcast about literature.
Yeah. And we'd probably get a lot of younger listeners.
Yeah. Trick them into thinking we're cool.
Exactly.
We are both, I think, Gen Z.
Yes. Yeah. We're Gen Z.
Yeah.
Is that the newest one?
I think those are the youngest, the ones who just came out, the newest model. Now, Colin, were you going to say something else about Mark Maron and WTF?
Well, so here's the thing. Yeah. I think one of the biggest episodes he had was when he had the president on, Obama.
Oh, I read an email about him.
Yeah. That was what your aunt was emailing.
Yeah, him. Yeah, exactly.
What if maybe we just get the president, President Obama, to be on our podcast?
I love that idea. He wrote a couple books, I think. At least one book, Audacity of Hope.
Yeah. And he also wrote Raising Hope, the TV show. They made a TV
and
show based on the book.
He wrote Raising Arizona, too, which is a movie based on the TV show on the book. Okay, so let's...
We'll get him. So we just need to get his email.
Producer Andrew, can you help us book President Obama?
I'm on it.
He's on it. He said he's on it.
Great. So,
okay, do you have his email address?
Multiple.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's also like, I know he's like, I don't know if you guys can hear him because we didn't set him up with a mic, but he's being so fucking smug. And he's like, yeah, no problem. I can email Obama. It's not that hard to email somebody.
No, because this is what I found. Usually it's their full name.
Yep.
And then it's at, and then whatever the name of the company is.
Yes.
gmail.com.
Exactly.
And so it would probably be Barack Obama at presidentofus.com.
That's true.
At gmail.com.
Right now, though, that is Trump, who I don't want to get into that whole mess.
No.
But that is, if we emailed that, it would probably direct right to
Trump. So maybe it's like...
It's probably barack.obama
at
used to be president.gmail.gov.
Okay. Okay. So just...
easy.
Yeah.
I could do it. You could do it.
Great.
Okay.
So what other podcasts could we pull from?
This American Life, I think, is a really popular one.
Yes. Okay.
And what they sort of do is they steal stories from other people.
That's easy. That's what we already do
when
we're writing books.
We used to write a lot and share the things that we wrote, and now we have guests on who read things that they wrote, and that's sort of our way.
It's very similar to like Andy Warhol sort of like where he had like a loft with just a bunch of those people who would just do all the art and then he'd say it was his.
Yes.
That's kind of what we do.
It's a factory.
Yes, the factory. We just say that it's our podcast. We wrote it.
Okay.
But it's
so
really
we're going to take a This American Life approach and what we do is we get a whole Williamsburg loft and we fill it full of artist types and we tell them what to write and then they write it and then we say it's ours. I love that idea.
That's a great idea.
And, okay, how about this? we call our podcast This American Book. I think that's good.
This American Right.
This American Right.
Mm.
That does sound like it could be about conservatives in America. And honestly, that would probably also get a lot of clicks.
And you know what? I'm down to do it just for the clicks.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, once they're on, they'll realize we're not talking about... They'll realize it's spelled differently.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, still, as long as we get them in.
And once they're in the door, then yeah, we're sold. Then what about the last podcast that I was thinking of, which also we have an in with because they're at this network, is Las Culturistas.
Oh, yeah.
And we know those hosts. They've done this podcast before.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that they're doing that we are not doing? I think they have an audience.
They have an audience, so they're doing that right.
They're relatable and funny, which we could try.
Yeah, but like I don't want to like
steal their thing.
Yeah, and also like it's just going to sound forced if we try to be funny. You know, it's going to sound strained if you and I try to do it.
Yeah, like doing some long prolonged bit.
Yeah.
Just kind of feels
it's more topical. Like it relates to like cultural.
Yeah, they're having conversations and talking about things that are going on in the world and their experiences and the lives of the past. There's not the shroud of I'm pretending to be a person. I'm not.
No, no.
And which I wouldn't ever want to do.
No.
And they have fun segments.
I don't want to
think of something clever.
Yeah, we'd have to think of something clever, and that just sounds like, you know, I'm already, you know, putting about like 15 to 20 minutes of work into this podcast, like on my own time. And I don't want to.
What I'm doing.
Yeah, I don't want to do more than that.
Okay, you know what? It sounds like we're not going to break it. Why don't we call one of our friends? Mark Vigent has been on the podcast and the live show. He's the code lord.
Yes.
He knows internet so good.
So he could probably tell us what we're doing wrong.
Yeah, or just like how do we... Maybe it's something where we're not tagging things.
And I think we also did come up with some good ideas with him before that we did not implement.
The book memes
and
stuff.
Which we did not implement.
So let's... I'm calling him up and we'll see.
What's up, Michael Wolf?
Hey, Mark Vigent, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you, my sweet friend?
Good. I just want to let you know real quick, you are on the Literati podcast.
Hey, Mark. It's Colin.
Colin!
And so we just wanted to know, we're just sort of doing our intro and chatting, and we're trying to figure out why our podcast is bad and how to make it good.
And we wanted you to sort of give us some insight.
Is this live?
No. But, you know, don't fuck up.
Wait, hold on. Wait. Is this the kind of thing where you're going to be using sound clips of this phone call?
Okay, fine. Let me retract my statement. This is live. So what we just want to know is it maybe something about analytics? Is there an internet side to this that like we haven't gotten the right hashtag?
Oh yeah, I mean you gotta be plugging into the right websites. I mean I think that really your issue here is an SEO problem. Okay,
we don't have a CEO.
No, Michael, stop being so hilariously random. I'm talking about SEO.
Okay.
That's search engine optimization.
Okay. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. So if you'll recall, something that I do in my daily routine, which starts at about 6:33 in the morning when I wake up, and then I obviously chug a few Monster Energy drinks.
Mark, our bit's already been going on for a long time. We just need quick, short advice about why our podcast sucks and how to make it better.
Okay, well, so like I was saying, after I wake up and chug the Monster Energy drink, and then I vape a full vape of tamarind vape juice, what I'll do is I'll step onto my hand.
Yeah, Mark, I think we got to go. We're losing you. It's a bad connection. Thanks so much. And
thank you, Mark.
All right. Yeah, good luck, everything.
Hey.
Good luck, and I think my advice is good, actually.
Could you give us a review on the app and, like, just give us 5 stars and review, because that honestly would really help.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, talk to you later. I love you. That was not bad. I sort of lost him at the SEO thing.
Yeah. We could have also, he has a show he invited us to tonight. We probably could have told him we'd come to that, but nah. Yeah.
No, that doesn't really sound like that helps us. Should we try Becky? real quick? Or should we go because our guest is
no,
here?
No, no, let's try Becky.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Becky Sheckoyne is a very likable, fun person, a comedian. She was on the podcast a while back. Yep. So let's just give her a call and see if she has any advice. Because I think maybe more from like a producing the show.
Yeah.
She maybe knows
and less talking about what their schedule is in the morning.
Hello.
I can't believe everyone's picking up.
Hi, this is Becky.
Are you working right now or do you have a second to chat?
I have a second.
Okay, great. This is Michael and Colin. I want to let you know that you're live on Literati.
Hi, Becky.
I'm live on Literati.
So basically, we're just talking, and the sort of like theme of this intro is, why is the podcast not very good, and how can we make it better, and how can we get people to like it? Because right now, they don't.
Any advice for us?
Sorry. Who is this?
This is Michael and Colin. We did comedy together in the group OSFUG for like 9 years.
Yeah, you've been on the podcast too.
Sorry,
you're one of our best friends.
I saw my phone said Michael, and I just have a brother named Michael. Okay, but hey, we're here. You want it to be popular? You want to be popular?
Very much so.
We just need you to tell us how to make people like the show, because you've got a lot of friends. You're very popular.
Yeah, thanks so much.
So could you give us...
You want me to yeah. It's hard because like that's kind of something you're a little bit born with, popularity. But I guess...
People are born popular?
I was born popular.
Oh, that's a good
book. You could check my birth certificate, Colin.
Oh, yeah. They mark that along with like blood type and stuff when you're born.
Becky, we just need like one good soundbite of how to get this podcast to be listenable.
Okay. How to get the podcast listenable. Add more bells, like jingle bells. Because, you know, if you think about it, people love Christmas music, holiday music.
That's true.
Yeah, that could work.
So, and people are listening to that. They listen to it even like year round now.
Yeah. Well,
so, is that the new thing? Listen to Christmas music all year round?
Oh, yeah. No, same. Me neither. I don't know anybody who does that.
Okay.
I was born popular.
Okay.
That is the name of your autobiography.
Engineer Andrew, can we add more bells to the podcast? Yeah,
for sure. Thanks. So
okay,
just
very cockily said
just
yes.
Just to reiterate, you are going to email Barack Obama and add more bells to our podcast.
Okay. Thank you so much, Becky. And I don't know if you've listened to the episode you were on yet, but it turned out really good, and we'd love it if you would listen and share.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm just kind of busy. Thanks so much.
Bye. So yeah, great. That's some really good advice. Those are good practical steps of how we can take this.
Was it though? I feel like Mark just listed his schedule and then Becky said add bells.
Again, that's good. That's as good as we're going to get.
Okay.
And, you know, hopefully people will find out that they love it and it's a cult hit maybe 30, 50 years in the future.
Yeah. How few listeners do you need for it to be a cult hit?
I think just the one.
Oh, we might be all right then.
Yeah.
Okay,
cults
great.
Of one happen.
Great. So anyway, let's get to our reader for the evening. And
so
this is a big one. I can't believe we got her.
I grew up reading her scary horror stories. I have all of her books at home, but she hasn't put out a new book in a decade, and no one's really heard from her.
Yeah.
So we have the exclusive new excerpt. Yeah. I'm so excited.
It's a master of horror, but retreated from the literary world for over a decade. But tonight she's here reading an excerpt from The Long Road. Please welcome Nancy Cardigan.
Hello, I'm Nancy Cardigan, and this is a passage from my upcoming novel, The Long Road. There were no street lights in Beechwood, Pennsylvania. The road was pitch black, and the two women could scarcely see beyond their headlights. Abigail was at the wheel while Nancy tried to nap in fits and starts. She couldn't sleep, not now, not at a time like this. The radio was on, although it had been a long while since they'd been within any sort of frequency. Occasionally, a desperate word would sputter out of the static like a hand reaching out, looking for someone, anyone, to grab a hold of. Danger. Roads closed. No way out. Blood. Nancy turned the radio off. She couldn't bear the tension of the static any longer. They drove in silence for a moment, the sounds of the road creating an even rhythm underneath the tire treads. Then suddenly, out of nowhere, a sound. "What was that?" asked Abigail, frightened. "What? Nothing. I definitely didn't hear a sound," replied Nancy, also frightened. "No, I definitely did hear something. No, I don't think so." "Nancy," Abigail said, her fear dissipating and turning into rage, "did you toot?" "What? No," said Nancy. "Yes, you did. You did toot, and you tooted in this hot car." "Really, Nancy? In this hot car? Are you serious?" "I did not toot," cried Nancy. "You literally did. You tooted in my hot car. And you know we can't open the windows because there are zombies outside and they could kill us dead. And now your hot fart is grilling on the seat warmers and this whole car smells like fucking rank-ass shit." Nancy pursed her lips and stared out the window. There was no calming Abigail when she was in a mood. They'd been friends since college and sisters since birth, and Nancy knew she wouldn't win this fight. She concentrated instead on staring out at the middle distance, dreaming of a time before the zombie apocalypse, and, more importantly, a time before the toot. Abigail was still fuming. "Jesus Christ, Nance," she said. "It smells like your whole ass exploded." As the flickering lights of a nearby emergency shelter came into focus, Nancy couldn't stop thinking about her toot. Because she had tooted. She had eaten nothing but canned beans for the last week, and the toot had come out seething and rabid and full of poisonous vengeance. She thought, perhaps she could forget about the toot, let it go, like they'd let their old lives go. But Abigail was a powerful woman, and she would surely tell everyone at the emergency shelter about the toot, and then everyone would know, and she couldn't live with that. Nancy knew what she had to do. She had to quit the literary world, stop writing books. She would move to a house in the woods and not speak to another soul for over a decade. Would she ever write about the experience? No, definitely not. And if she did write a book that had a similar story, it would merely be a coincidence and not based on anything that really happened. Thank you.
Wow, Nancy Cardigan, thank you so much. I am shivering in my little seat.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my goodness.
From that scary story. Goosebumps. I have so many questions.
Yes, yeah. It's spooky, isn't it?
But before we get to the interview and the questions, Michael and I are trying to get more listeners, and we think that what would help is getting some really like clippable sound bites.
Yeah, just stuff that people can like make GIFs out of, but for sound.
So
post on Tumblr, stuff like that.
Yeah, so we're gonna get to like our really intellectual literary discussion, but real quick, would you mind just saying this number one here? Could you just say that?
Sure. I'm just reading.
Yep. Yeah.
Right, put your own spin on it.
Yeah. Put your own spin on it, and then we'll just we'll clip it out.
All right, I'll just read what's here.
Yep. And we'll just edit that, her saying I'll read what's here out when we
so it sounds great. Like she means it.
Yeah,
great. And I'm just gonna read what you wrote then,
and then we'll just edit that out too. But yes,
okay,
yeah, go ahead.
Great. So give me one moment to just read over these words you've given me that you wrote
coming out of your mouth.
Okay. I don't see what all the fuss is about the college admissions scandal. Rich people should be able to buy their kids way into college. If you have lots of money, you should be above the law.
What? Wow. Oh, coming out, Nancy. I do not agree with that one.
It's nice that you're brave.
Fantastic.
And then would you just say, I love Donald Trump?
Yes, and these are words you want me to say?
If you say them, then yes, I would love for that.
I'll do anything you ask of me. I'm so happy to be back on the radio.
So happy to have you, yeah.
I love Donald Trump.
Okay, we got that.
Excellent.
Awesome. And then just last, climate change isn't real.
Oh, well, climate change isn't real. This is true.
Great. And then just a spin on that, climate change is for cucks.
Just to make it a little bit more offensive.
Yeah, just for the kids. Yeah.
Yes. Climate change is for cucks.
Awesome. That's okay, so, great. And now so, we can put those out there and people are going to be like, wow, if they said that, what was the rest of the podcast like? And they will be disappointed.
Great.
You young people.
That's true.
We mentioned Gen Z, Michael and I.
Two of the youngest people I know.
Young people and your cucks.
Believe it or not, I used to be even younger.
You're kidding.
What? Yeah.
I was always this age.
Wow.
Yes.
That's impressive. Just slow and steady. You find an age you like and you stick at it.
Yes.
Wow.
Precise.
Slow and steady. I'm fine not finishing the race.
That's exactly right.
How I go.
Exact.
Yeah. Exact. Nancy.
Yes.
Back into the interview. Such a thrill to have.
Yeah, let's try and make these transitions as smooth as possible. So we are ending that first part, and now we are doing interview.
I can't believe, I mean, no one knew what happened to you for so long. I can't believe we have you on the podcast.
It's an honor.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Thank you so much. It's an honor for me as well.
You're like J.D. Salinger, but less up your own ass.
Exactly. Where did he go?
Honestly, he can stay there for all I care. But when you were, what took you so long to get back into the writing world?
Well, I was sort of taking some me time.
Mm-hmm.
That's
important.
You know, I just thought I just needed to take 10 or so years to just sort of get back to me.
Right.
And people don't understand with artists, I mean, sometimes that's part of the process,
you know?
The emails pile up and you're like, I got to take at least a weekend, at most 10 years.
Well, and I don't even have a computer.
Oh.
So for me, it was just, I had some old letters.
Okay.
And I didn't want to respond.
Right.
And so I moved away into the woods and I took 10 years of me time. And it was for just me time and no other reason. Nothing else happened that I am ashamed of or should be ashamed of.
Right. Okay. I mean,
No one's thinking that I would
never read into anything.
It's not suspicious to leave your family with no word, move into a house in the middle of the woods and disappear for 10 years. There's nothing unusual about this.
No, not at all. Michael's, you've done a similar thing with your family.
Well, my kids suck. And except
it was the other way around where they left you with no word.
Yeah, they took off, but I kind of set the table for that. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to, for some of our younger listeners, if you can believe they're even younger than us, they might not be familiar with all of your works before you went missing because you were topping the charts.
It's true.
The mystery charts, the horror charts.
Yes.
The spine-tingling charts.
Yes, I was number two on the spine-tingling charts, and I actually won a Spine Tinglers Award.
Oh, my gosh.
In 2007.
You won a tingly.
I won a tingly.
And then the trophy is just a spine on a plaque.
It's a vertebrae.
Yes,
yeah.
And it has a little feather attached to it so that you can tingle someone's spine.
That's incredible.
It.
I keep forgetting who number one was on the
that
spine
year. Yeah,
It was Stephen King.
Yeah, it was Stephen King. Duh.
Yeah.
He had just written On Writing, and everybody was like, ooh, I don't want to reflect.
Spooky. There's nothing spookier than a book about writing.
Nothing scares me more than process.
Perhaps maybe a film about theater.
Oh, God. Noise is on. But I was wondering, some of these, if you could just take our listeners through some of the books that you'd written. I remember you had... the one about the swamp thing called
Swampy.
Swampy, yes.
Yes, of course. One of my biggest books. I mean, it was hugely successful. There was a Swampy movie, and then there was a very famously failed television program,
The Swamp Files.
The Swamp Files.
Yeah.
And there were action figures.
It's true. Yeah.
Wet. They were all wet.
Yeah. Which yes. was, yeah, it was like wet, melted plastic. I don't know how it stayed so hot.
There was, and there, I do remember the commercials were very popular. It was, they come wet, they stay wet. They're the wettest action figures you've ever seen. How do they stay so wet?
Oh. How do they stay so wet? Oh, yes.
Yes,
that
how do they stay
back.
So wet? Oh, Freddie Prinze Jr. was in that commercial.
Yeah.
Oh!
And that's only an abridged version of the song. The song at the end of the commercial went on for about six and a half minutes.
Yeah, it's one of the only commercials ever to run that had closing credits.
And then I believe a full album came out of just all of the rest of the songs attached. It was like a concept album around the Swampy toy. What was Freddie Prinze like? Did you get to meet him?
Oh, he was terrible.
Oh, no.
Just awful to work with.
I'll never meet your heroes.
Remind me, was this Freddie Prinze Jr. or the...
Freddie Prinze Sr.
Freddie Prinze Sr.?
It was Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, okay. It was Jr.,
the hot one.
Yeah, the hot one. Because this was 2008, right before I went away for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
For me time.
Yeah, me time.
Yeah. So I feel like you've set that up and there's going to be no time or need for us to dig deeper
Not
into
at
that
all.
And push.
No. But Swampy was huge.
Swampy was one of the biggest horror novels of the decade.
Was it hard to write? Because that was that your first novel?
That was my last.
Oh my gosh, your last! I had it flipped. Okay. Oh man, I try to do the research, but then sometimes I've got I've got brain rot. So
yeah.
Doctors say it's
his brain.
Oh, so sorry.
It's
eating itself. And that's a medical term.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You know, interestingly enough, my brain is slowly growing.
Really?
And will at some point need somewhere to go.
Well, I was going to say the headphones, or cans as we call them, mm-hmm. barely fit onto your head.
Yeah. Yes, my head
stretched
is
as far
huge.
As they can go.
I did notice that the side of your head is shaved, and it has like a little, like it looks like almost a doctor made uh-huh. like a dotted
like
line circle around it.
Yeah.
Is that where they're planning on like... Are they going to like remove one part of your skull
it's
for the brain?
It's sort of a blueprint for if there's a problem.
I was going to say I thought that was a cool Skrillex haircut.
Well, it's both.
Okay, it can be both, Colin. That's our lesson of the day.
It can be both.
So obviously it must have been easy to write books before getting to Swampy.
Certainly. I wrote so many. I mean, you know.
Oh, why? There was the Bone Boys.
Oh, yes. And then the sequel, Bone Girls, which didn't do as well.
Yeah, it's hard because they made you make those ones pink to appeal to girls, which is just like, that's a total marketing sham.
It was. And all the pages had to be pink. And then the writing was like a dark pink. And it was extremely hard to read. And so, you know, girls were complaining, I can't read the book. And then there became a rumor that women couldn't read.
Right.
and I felt responsible.
Yeah. And it was similar to how they now know, like the blue light from computers affects the eye. It was like,
right.
It like ruined a lot of young girls' vision.
Permanently.
It did. It permanently ruined, and in the way that the blue light keeps you awake at night, you know, young girls would try to read the book and then they wouldn't sleep for weeks.
Yes. Yeah. I've invented a device. You know how there's like night mode for Twitter or in like the Kindle app?
What is night mode for Twitter?
Well, basically it changes the color from black on and blue on white to white on blue. So I'll show you real quick.
Okay.
It's pretty important. Let me just pull up my Twitter account. So this is night mode.
Okay.
And then, so it's just dark.
It's just dark. And then this is day mode.
Gotcha.
So we can keep all that in. And I did that for books where sometimes you're reading and it's nighttime and the light bouncing off the book is just killing your eyes.
You want a black book.
Yes.
So with white writing.
It's a black book with white writing.
So you have two copies of every book.
Well, I wish it was that simple. Each book comes with a bonus page. And so when it comes nighttime, what you have to do is slip the page you're reading out, slip the new page in. What's tough is they're not numbered.
It's a plastic, like a
It's basically like
that
a filing cabinet is what it's become. And you have to slip each page out one at a time. And you just pick, do I want a day page or a night page? Or if you're doing the artist's way, a morning page.
So this is the kind of thing where at the top of the day, you can decide, I think I'm going to read these pages in the day and these pages in the night and sort of prepare ahead for your day.
Or do you have to change them all out every single
time?
It's up to
even
you.
The pages you've already
read. I have
read.
A very logical, reason-based mind. I love
Clearly.
To debate people. I love to, I'm all about facts, not feelings. And except for in my poetry where it's the other way around. And so I say each morning I sort of regiment my day and I figure out what I'm going to read when. And I plan it out. And that's how it works for me. And I know, okay, I'm going to need one cup of Soylent in the morning. At lunch, I'm going to need a bowl of Soylent. At night, I'm going to need a Soylent turkey. You know, that sort of thing.
And this is your food?
This is my food, yeah. Soylent is a thing that I buy from my cousin Vinny. And...
They made a movie about him, didn't they?
I don't want to talk about it.
Was the movie based on?
I got cut out of it, yeah.
It was.
I was the guy who was going to run in and say, you guys forget your pizza. And they cut me out. I did that in every scene.
And there's no mention of Soylent in that movie,
well,
my cousin Vinny.
Side project?
It was a side project. You know how how Ryan Gosling
Not
has
relevant
a band?
To the story.
Yes, maybe. I do know.
Yes, and it's a bad band, and it's a scary band.
Yeah.
I think it's called something like The Lonely Bones, or do you know? Ryan Gosling has a band, and I will promise you this, it's pretty spooky, the music, which is why I'm talking about it so much, because it ties
relevant to, we have a horror writer.
Yeah, yes.
Exactly. So speaking of, so you got your Bone Boys, Bone Girls, you got Swampy. What was your favorite book that you wrote?
Probably the Kazoo Files.
Yes. Because that was a whole series.
Yeah. It was. The Kazoo Trilogy.
Yes. It was a series of three
based on an anthropomorphized kazoo that just...
It's terrifying.
So scary. Yeah. And it just went wild.
Yes, that's... Because I was reading this book under the covers as a kid with these blinding white pages.
And you'd know that kazoo was coming because you'd hear the... It's kind of like a Jaws theme, but it was the kazoo.
That's quite a good kazoo you've got there.
Thank you. I was playing one as a kid while reading your book, and I got so scared I gasped. The kazoo shot down my throat, and now I can play kazoo whenever I want.
Oh, you have a kazoo wedged in your esophagus.
In my doctor's called a windpipe.
Ah, okay, yes. I'm familiar.
And I want to know, is there a monster or a spooky theme that you have yet to write about that you've always been dying to? Is this maybe a place where we can brainstorm?
Oh, I would love to, because, you know, I'm expecting this next book to be extremely popular and successful. And so
The
Long Road. And so, you know, I'm trying to think of what my next book should be. I keep thinking perhaps A Short Road or A Wide Road.
Prequel.
But, you know, perhaps it's not about a road at all.
Mm.
Perhaps it's a book about...
Cul-de-sacs.
A cul-de-sac.
Mm.
A loop-de-loo.
Mm.
Or perhaps. An avenue. Perhaps.
Yeah.
Or perhaps, you know, it is about, we go back to monsters, and perhaps it is a book about a scary, spooky lamp.
Mm.
For example, or.
Don't turn out the lights.
Exactly. Or they'll turn out you.
Oh, yes.
You better turn out the lights before the lights turn out you. No. Could be a catchphrase.
Oh, I could see that on a t-shirt. Yeah.
Or a chapter title.
Yeah.
And actually, a lot of my books are based on t-shirts.
Really?
Yes. Many writers don't work this way, but you can.
I remember you had the other series, No Fear.
No Fear.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know. And then the follow up to that, the Big Dog series.
I remember it was
I had a whole
absolutely
Big Dog series.
Terrifying. You had the Above the Rim.
Mm-hmm. And one Above the Rim. Yeah. And of course, your series for children, Tweety Bird with an Attitude. That yes, one, I love the use of rhinestones.
There were a lot of rhinestones, and I did get a cease and desist.
Before we continue with more of your just amazing catalog of work.
Thank you.
Just again, we are trying to get more listeners,
sure.
Trying to be more relevant.
Absolutely.
So we're just, this is going to be super quick. We're just going to touch on a few like culturally relevant things. And if you can just, you know, give us a quick, your thoughts on it. Did you see Avengers Endgame?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Yes.
Great. Okay. So that's all we need for that.
Done.
We can, and we can just put that, Andrew, just in the description of
that'll help with the SEO.
Yeah. So
say Colin and Michael talk with Nancy Cardigan about Avengers Endgame.
Yeah. So, and then I guess follow up, have you seen Game of Thrones? Have you been watching the last season?
No.
Did you hear about that Starbucks cup thing?
Yes.
Great.
Okay, great.
Great. So, Michael, do you have any?
Put that in there, Andrew.
Yeah, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I had a question because we're supposed to be topical, right?
Just topical stuff that we can put in, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you been going to that park by my house where they're doing construction all the time?
I don't think so.
Okay, and so we can put that in for the...
Which park is this?
Dingus Park.
Oh, yes, I'm familiar. No, I haven't been in quite a while. What are they doing? They're putting a new...
They're just digging.
Oh, they're just digging.
I don't know what's going on, but now I can't see the people digging anymore. They're so far down.
You know, I tried to do this in my 10 years of me.
Yeah?
10 years of me time. And I just thought, I'll just dig a hole until I am gone.
Mm. Mm.
And wouldn't you know, the deeper I got, there I still was.
Because you're always digging away from something.
It's true.
And no matter how deep you dig, you're still there.
It's true.
In that hole.
You're still in the
hole. You can't dig
away
from you.
You can't ever dig. And trust me, I tried. Yeah. I hit lava.
And
we all have holes inside ourselves that we're trying to fill. Trying to fill with something.
It's true.
Yeah. And finally, those royals had a baby. Have you seen it yet?
Yes, I did. I had a special viewing.
Of the baby. Behind the curtain.
Great. Yes.
Great.
Do you know what they named it?
Oh, it doesn't matter. We don't need to get into it. So we're just going to put Royals had a baby in the thing, the Game of Thrones and Avengers.
Are you getting this, Andrew?
And Dingus,
say it out
Dingus
loud.
Park.
We're going to get Avengers. We're going to get the Game of Thrones.
You don't have to say everything. Great. I just need a verbal yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, because you're nodding, but I don't know what that means.
Great. And there's no way that this can backfire yelling at the producer who gets to present how
this
is shown to the world.
We've met once before, so I think this will be okay. Well, I don't want to poke and prod, but I do want to ask an intimate question. I know you say you just went away for you time, or as you say, me time, but I know you mean you.
Thank you.
But you were at the peak of your career. Yeah. Swampy you had just
everything.
Come out.
It was a smash hit.
And there was TV, there was movies. I mean,
there
Freddie
was the
Prince
wettest
Jr.
action figures anyone has ever seen.
What made you leave the spotlight truly? Is there something deeper that you were running from?
Well, I don't know if I want to say. Okay. I don't know if I feel comfortable speaking to it.
This is the three of us and an engineer who's about half a person.
And we don't want you to say anything that would make you need 10 more years of me time. But it seemed like the story might have. I mean,
was
the character had the same name as you?
Was there a way that you were?
I hadn't even noticed
that Nancy was your name and the character's name.
Yeah, I hadn't even noticed.
Do you have a sister?
Yes.
Is her name Abigail?
How did you know?
Again. Your story had these really subtle... Colin and I are good readers. You know how some people read between the lines?
Yes.
We just read what's on the line. Yeah. Because that way we get the words.
It's already a challenge enough for us.
So, okay, don't throw your headphones off.
Please don't.
Stay in the room.
I'm nervous.
Nancy Cardigan, it's going to be okay. We just want to know, were you using your story to tell us a truth?
Fine. Yes, I was. Yes, yes. I'll say it.
Okay.
I went on a road trip with my sister, Abigail. I tooted in the car. I thought she was going to tell everyone because she is a horrible woman. And so I moved away into the woods.
Oh, my God.
I built a home with my hands.
Oh my God.
Was it a good home? Like, was it solid foundation?
No.
What did the home that you built look like?
Imagine a pile of sticks.
assembled.
And now imagine that with me beneath it.
I kind of imagine you had a few attempts at it, and then you're like, what if I just lie on the ground and try to put these sticks over
Precisely.
Me?
Yeah. For 10 years.
Wow.
I went to the woods.
So you lied to us when you said you just needed to read letters?
No, I lied. I went because I was afraid my sister was going to tell everybody that I tooted in the car.
Oh.
And then I would be ruined. My career would be over because everyone would know that I'm a nasty bitch who farts in a hot car while the seat warmers are on and the windows are all the way up.
And so these zombies in the story.
Yes. In real life, there were no zombies.
Oh my God. it's just wave after wave of lies hitting me. And at least I thought, well, the zombies are part of it, and they're not.
In real life, the windows couldn't be rolled down because they were broken. Abigail, on top of being a horrible bitch, is a cheap bitch, and she wouldn't get her car fixed.
Oh, next thing you're going to tell me is that this road isn't even that long.
The road was very short.
Oh, God, I feel cheated. But also, at the same point, I want to applaud you for your vulnerability and... In general, in life, we've been through these same things.
You mean you can relate?
We can relate.
To me?
You're not the only person who's done a toot.
No.
My dog is shitting every day, and I have to touch it.
This can't be. I went away for 10 years because of a toot. You see? 10 years of my life Wasted.
Who told you that you could not do a toot?
I just assumed.
Okay.
And you were just living under sticks for 10 years?
I had a pillow.
So you walked into the woods carrying nothing but a pillow?
Oh, sorry. I shouldn't have said pillow. I guess I should have said stone.
Okay. Yeah, that actually makes more sense. Wait, a Tempur-Pedic stone?
No, just a stone.
Okay. Nancy, this is such a tragic story because Colin and I can relate. This is not, you made no egregious error. You know, this is a human thing and there was no reason to shun yourself.
Perhaps if you had smelled the toot, you would feel differently.
Okay, that is fair. Maybe.
Perhaps I should recreate the toot now.
No, you don't Please need don't. To do yeah. that.
Do you want me to?
No.
We could see. I feel so open and vulnerable. Perhaps I should recreate the toot.
No.
And you should tell me if I did the right thing moving into the woods for 10 years.
You'd have maybe save that for like the last couple minutes of the podcast. So that feels like a way to wrap up.
Because I've been eating a lot of wet beans.
Okay. Pinto? Was that what you had the day of the long road?
Yes.
Okay. Because you got to recreate it step by step.
Was that also the car you were in? Is that a car? A Pinto? Is that a car?
A Pinto. It's a horse. I know a Pinto is a horse. Nancy, while you were in the woods, now that we've cleared the air, which unfortunately your sister couldn't because of those cheap windows, have you reached out to her since you've gotten back to the real world?
Well, she unfortunately passed.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's so sad.
Yes.
You never got to make amends?
No. But I did learn that she never told anyone about my toot.
Wow.
So
you won.
I won.
And
that stupid bitch.
Oh.
I won once and for all, and I outlived her.
Take that, Abigail.
That's what you said at her funeral, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they actually waited. She died about 5 years ago, but they waited to have the funeral. They kept the body out.
Her last request was for you
in the sun?
They kept it out in the sun. Her last request was to be extremely dry and crispy and not wet.
Yeah.
Because she knew all the success you had had with that wet, with swampy wet. Thing. And so yeah. She was like, I don't want
any piece of that.
Nancy, I wonder if the Long Road series could be an exploration of guilt. An exploration of your sister's life, a testament to her, you know, where maybe she is this crusty, wrinkly, dead monster that you explore.
Or perhaps she, in the second book, does a toot herself.
Okay.
And I ruin her life.
That's a little bit more one-to-one than I was thinking. I was thinking maybe she's like the secret keeper and she's a person with a terrible secret.
And her terrible secret is that she did an awful toot. And when I find out, I destroy her.
I mean, that sounds honestly very cathartic and therapeutic.
So you're gonna take what was your fear and drove you to live in the woods for 10 years, and you're going to basically do, like, recreate it with your sister, but like
in fantasy.
Yeah.
Yes, precisely. Yes.
Okay. Your dead sister.
Okay. I guess my next question is, who are your influences?
Well, as horrible as he was, I suppose Freddie Prinze Jr., I think, is a terrific actor and very influential to me.
And your writing.
As a much older writer.
Yes. Yes. It's funny where we draw the inspiration from.
And he can really sell an action figure.
It's true.
That's true. Freddy Krueger is one of my biggest inspirations.
Oh, of course.
I want to get into the heads of kids.
Also, I must say... Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah.
As a mystery. So so much wonderful exploration into the mystery genre there. Yeah, and I'm just
absolutely
constantly, consistently impressed by those kids, those meddling kids, and of their dog, Scooby.
We got a dog for the podcast. His name is Milo. And we spent, so far it's been thousands of dollars in just getting the dog, training the dog, feeding the dog, getting worms into it, getting worms out of it.
Great.
And we just thought, okay, people like dogs. Dogs are popular on Instagram and all over the internet. So if we get a dog, people will like the podcast. And we're just sort of now today realizing that nobody's realized that we've had a dog in the studio this whole time.
I see, because there's no visual component to your radio show.
What we were thinking is I'll kick the dog and it'll bark at a certain time. It'll be like when a section ends. But we don't even have segments because we can't be bothered.
We can't afford them.
Right. You want to be able to hear the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe if the dog could do a funny rap.
That would be very funny.
The only clue that the listeners would have that there's a dog is once in a while, in the middle of an interview, Michael just starts screaming the name Milo, and then his voice gets further away from the microphone.
Milo, it tries to eat cords and cables.
Ah, okay. So he's hungry.
I don't know what it is, because I feed him a bunch of stuff.
The worms, as you mentioned.
I feed him the worms. Crust off of... Yeah, the worms.
Mm-hmm.
The worms that I've been growing as an experiment.
Certainly, I'm familiar.
Maybe we need to take a step back. Michael grows worms.
Yeah, okay. Are you happy? I admit it.
We all caught up.
Nothing to be ashamed of. I grew worms out in the woods. That's...
Yeah.
How else are you going to eat?
Exactly. And the worms aren't going to grow themselves. And I feed him crust off of bread. And I feed him...
Macarons.
I think you were saying the name of the French president. Macron.
Yes. I feed.
You cannot feed him
Milo. Mark macaroons, and he likes those. And I give him Doritos Cool Ranch only.
Fantastic.
And I give him Evian water.
So he has a wonderful diet. He sounds like a very well-kept dog.
Yeah, but he has contributed shit to this podcast.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Michael's been trying to teach him to rap. How do you
Well, the problem is I'm not a good teacher.
Yeah.
You know? I've studied.
Sure,
but I'm only one lesson ahead of the dog.
Right.
And I'm not, you know, it's not coming from my experience. I'm very much just
so the dog could be a wonderful rapper.
Yeah, with a good teacher.
Yeah.
Right.
Which leads me to my next question. Do you know any rappers? Preferably good ones.
Some. I mean, I've obviously been very close with Drake for some time now.
Obviously.
And then maybe you should also mention no allergies to dogs. Do you know
then
rappers?
Not Drake.
Okay.
Drake sneezes the minute he gets into a room with a dog.
Yeah. You know, he was in Swampy as a child.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, he was that kid with the crutches.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Nancy, I wanted to ask about specifically writing horror. What to you are the good elements of writing any book, but specifically a horror book?
Well, number one, it's got to be spooky.
Sure. Sure.
I feel like a lot of young writers, they set out, they think, okay, I'm going to write a horror book. It's going to be scary. It's going to be terrifying. It's going to be bloody, gory, etc. But they forget one thing, and that is to make the book spooky. And I think
there's a difference.
There is, and I think it's clear when you read these books that they are scary and not spooky.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think scary can be learned, but spooky you are born with.
Yeah, spooky is, there's, you can't really put, if you could put your finger on what spooky is, then that's not spooky.
Precisely.
Spooky is an atmosphere.
Yeah, because if you have your finger on it, then it's not spooky enough. If it was really spooky, you wouldn't want to touch it.
Right. Could Colin and I maybe pitch you some like either sentences or scenarios, and you can tell us if they're spooky or scary?
Spooky or scary, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
so let me think of one. Okay. The monster drooled all over the floor, which was my bed, because the monster was under my bed.
Scary.
Okay, fuck. Was it the drooling?
It was the drool, yes.
Okay. And was the sentence long enough?
I think it could be long.
Okay, thank you.
Colin realized at the age of 36 that his dreams of playing professional basketball might not come to fruition.
Okay, unfortunately, that is also scary.
Also a little sad. You know,
you think that he still has a chance?
Yeah, don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on your dream.
Give it a go again. I think that you'll get it.
Okay.
Keeping
how about
in mind that a spooky sentence is a long sentence.
Okay,
right. Okay.
It's 8 p.m., Dracula said to himself as he got onto the bus to Newark. Shit, I can't believe it. I got to go all this way to see my kids. Why didn't I fight harder to keep them? Why didn't I fight harder for full custody? Somebody turned on the light. Hey, knock it off, jerkwad. I'm trying to sleep, said Dracula to the person next to him who was a mummy.
Well, yes, you're almost there.
So well, a little further to go.
I wish I could turn into a bat and fly and not have to take the bus, but unfortunately I got this ankle bracelet monitor on from when I did the hit and run back in Transylvania. I love my kids.
That was spooky.
Yeah!
Woo! You did it, Michael.
I feel so good.
An ankle bracelet that can only be worn on a bus.
That it doesn't detect it when you cross straight lines. It's not
about this bracelet. Oh, if you guys, now I want to write this book. Bracelet's not about leaving your home. It's about turning into a bat.
It detects when you turn into a bat.
Yes, I love that.
In this is a version of Dracula never before told where he's pretty much just a pale guy.
A person.
Yes. What a brave way to tell that story.
I think you should write this.
Thank you. I'm halfway there.
And if you need help turning it into a television show or perhaps a soaking wet action figure, just let me know.
Okay.
How does it stay so wet? How does it stay so wet?
It's the wettest thing on your shelf. Colin, did you have one? Last one? Maybe something about a zombie?
It sounds like maybe you have another one.
You were thinking. No, it was just if you were. It's where my mind.
So after you got the one where we nailed it, you want to do one more
just to see or not?
Yeah, no.
Okay, great.
Every time you touch it, your hands are coated in something, but you don't know what it is. Is it water? No, it is a substance that has never been seen before on Earth. Sorry, I'm just singing the rest of the verses.
Melted plastic, you are touching melted plastic.
Why is it so hot? Why is it still so, so hot?
One more trip to the emergency room with your kids.
With your kids. Where that ooze come from? Where that ooze come from? It's swampy, a little wet guy.
1, 2, 3, 4. 3 minute guitar solo.
Then there was a guitar solo. That's right. Followed by a 6 minute drum solo.
Yes.
Gosh, those were the days. I was really at the height of my career.
So how did they get it so wet?
Yeah, let's not beat around the bush any longer. How'd they get that swampy action figure so wet?
To this day, nobody knows.
Wow. That's incredible. Well, Nancy Cardigan, we're so grateful to have you here. Do you have any advice to young aspiring writers?
I guess I would say, should you find yourself in a position where perhaps you have done a toot that you so bad you think it could ruin your career, and you're worried your sister will tell everyone about it, don't assume that you will, and then move to the woods. Build a house out of sticks and spend 10 years laying on your back with your head on a stone befriending a deer.
It does sound like you gave yourself a lot of credit for saying a house out of sticks. It sounds more like a blanket out of sticks.
A blanket out of sticks is accurate.
I want to put that on a t-shirt. Yeah. That's the sort of writing advice that just anybody, that's 101 stuff.
Well, and I have put that on a t-shirt, and I've already made $1 million.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Wow.
And then also before we go, do you know of any hashtags on Twitter that are trending right now that maybe we could use? Do you know any trending?
I think I saw one.
Perhaps hashtag Detective Pikachu.
Okay.
Oh, and this
podcast
is
going to
come out.
Can we
put that as a hashtag? Just hashtag Detective Pikachu.
The podcast is coming out sometime this month, so that's still going to be good.
That'll still be good.
Okay. That sounds good. Hashtag Great. Detective Pikachu.
Oh, no, it's happening. It's coming.
What?
It's coming out. Oh, no. Here it comes.
Oh, my God. No, she's...
It's a toot. No, I can't stop it.
Just try and hold it in.
Here it comes.
Cut the mic.
No!
Oh my God! Oh,
it sounds like back to the
woods. It sounds like something died inside you. You got it. You should leave society.
I have to go back to the woods.
This is vile. We're gonna tell everybody.
No, don't.
Yeah, please. Everybody's gonna find it using hashtag Detective
Pikachu.
You
are so lucky. No one listens to this podcast.
Oh. Oh, it's just hanging in the air.
It's very thick. It's very wet, and it will probably stay wet forever.
Oh, you need to leave society.
Can I just say one more thing about my toot?
Yeah.
How does it stay so wet? How does it stay so wet? How does a toot stay so wet and so thick in the air?
And that's the end of that chapter.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.